Hello and welcome to Tony Brew Ministries. Here's a Bible teaching session whose title is in the form of a question. Who is Jesus?
I feel like I have a treat today. I get to talk to you about the greatest person who ever lived. Jesus Christ, the Lord Himself. A session with a question, who is Jesus? Well, who is He not? He's everything you want Him to be and everyone you need Him to be. Jesus is our Lord and our God. He is the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the comfort when I need comfort. He's the peace when I need peace. When I need joy, He's the joy I need. When I need to be happy, He's the one who makes me happy. A little guy on the commercial said, pet milk makes me happy. Well, Jesus makes me happier than pet milk. Thomas said, our text, John 20:28, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Thomas found out who he was. He knew who he was. And you and I have found out who he is. There were times in our life we didn't know the Lord. We knew about the Lord. Most of us were raised in families that were God-fearing. Even though we may not have served God, we were taught to fear or respect the Lord. But we didn't know the Lord. We knew about the Lord. But when you come into a relationship with Christ, you know the Lord. It is a personal relationship with Him. And He is described all throughout Scripture. The Bible, the New Testament, the Old Testament, the Psalms, the Proverbs, Prophets, the Law, Torah. It's all about Christ. Fulfillment of the prophecies. He Himself said, I came not to destroy the Law or the Prophets, but to fulfill. He came to fulfill Scripture. That's who He is. He is the eternal and sovereign God. You might say, well, I thought God the Father is that. Well, He is, but everything God the Father is, God the Son is. Amen. He is the eternal and sovereign God. John opens his gospel in chapter 1 by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So this Jesus that we're talking about, it's not just someone who was born in Bethlehem's manger, but it's someone who was in the beginning. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Son was always with God, the Father. And the Word was God. He is God. There are religions today, and that's all it is, a religion, which teaches that Jesus is not God. He was a good teacher, He was a good prophet, He was a good man, but they say He was not God. The Scripture said He was God, and He is God. The same was in the beginning with God. There's no doubt who we're talking about. The same one that was in the beginning with God, the same one that was God, is God. He was in the beginning with God, and He is involved in creation. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians said, whether it's thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. The Son is just as much involved in creation as the Father is. Father, Son, and Spirit, all are involved in creation. All are involved in our salvation. The Father provided that we could be saved, that we could be healed, that we could be blessed. And Jesus came and He paid the price for all of it. He's involved in our redemption. The Holy Spirit, He comes into our life. Even before we're saved, He convicts us of sin. He's involved in our life. He's involved in our redemption. In Him, Jesus, was life. He said, I came that they might have life. That's why you get to talking about Him, you get to singing about Him. We don't stay still too long. We don't keep our hands down too long. We may not keep our voices down too long, because you're talking about the one who is life. You're not talking about no dead God, no dead Savior. We're talking about the one who comes to give life. He said that thief is the one who steals and kills and destroys, but I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The life was manifested. The life was the light of men. The life that He comes to give us is the light of men. That is totally different from darkness in this world. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. When light shines, darkness is no more. You can take the dark room and make this room as dark as it can be, and you can light one candle in the midst of this room and it will light up. When light shines, darkness is no more. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It's like darkness wasn't even there anymore. In the darkness, God spoke and said, "Let there be light." For Hebrew, light be, and light was. He spoke light out of darkness. The same one who spoke into our heart has illuminated our heart and caused the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel, in the face of Jesus Christ to shine in our heart. The wonder of wonders, the song said, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. The one that made the world came to the world as a little baby in a manger in Bethlehem. He was in the world. The world was made by Him. What an experience that must have been, to come to the world that you created, to leave heaven and come to this world. He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. That's the tragic part. The one who created it, He made it, He put it all into motion, He keeps it going, and He comes down here as one of us, and we didn't even know who He was. As the Negro spiritual says, we don't know who You is. We didn't know it was You. The world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He came to His own people as one of His own people. The Lion of the tribe of Judah comes to the world as a lamb. One of the line of David. Thou son of David. From David's line comes Jesus. And they didn't know who He was. Came to His own, and His own received Him not. Not only did they choose not to know Him, but they rejected Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, the children of God. The word is techna. Think of a techna shot, don't you? Techna. Children. Not just sons like masculine or daughters feminine, but all of it. Techna, the children of God. He gives them authority. The word is exousia. He gives them power, the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. How do you become a child, son, daughter of God? By believing on His name. He didn't say join the church. He didn't say get in good with the preacher. He didn't say go to the conference. He didn't say climb a tree. He didn't say jump over a building. He didn't say give money to charity. He didn't say any of that. He said believe. And when you believe, it'll cause you to do good works. Those who believe on His name. Those who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's just saying this is a spiritual birth. A lot of people are born of mankind. All of us are born of mankind, man and woman. We're born of blood. We have blood in our veins. That is a source of physical life. The life of the flesh is in the blood, the scripture says. All of us are born of blood, but this kind of birth that we're talking about is not a blood birth. The only blood that's involved in our spiritual birth is the blood of Jesus. And that washes all our sins away. And now we have royal blood in our veins because we belong to Him. But the sons of God, the children of God, those, it's not that you're born of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of flesh, but it's of God. And the Word, the same Word that was in the beginning with God, was God, is God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's how He came to the world He made. He came and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus. We talk about it at Christmas time, but it's Christmas all year long in the child of God's life. Jesus is our Lord and Master. No man has seen God at any time. We have seen similitudes, we've seen illustrations, we've seen partials and glimpses of God, but no man has seen God in any time. God told Moses, "You cannot see my face and live." Nobody can. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Jesus declared to us who God is. In Matthew 28, when He now had suffered on the cross and was risen again, verse 17, 18, they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. You still got the Thomases of today who doubt. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power," that same word, exousia, authority, "is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He is the one who is eternal, sovereign God. He has all power. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. He is the proclaimer of the kingdom of God. He comes to proclaim God's kingdom. Jesus fulfills Isaiah's prophecy in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. "The people who sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." He came as the light of the world. In verse 17 of Matthew 4, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" He came to the world to introduce the world to the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, we have what is called the parable of the sower, but actually it's the parable of the soil. The seed doesn't change. The sower sows the word, but it's the condition of the soil that determines what happens to the seed. The sower sows the seed of God's word. Some seed falls by the wayside and is devoured by the birds. In this case, the evil one is successful in snatching the word of God out of the heart of one who does not believe. When you hear the word, you better decide to believe, because if you don't, the evil one can come and snatch that word out of your heart. It's not because he's so powerful. It's because you give him power and lead way to come and snatch the word out of our heart, lest we should believe and be saved. Other seed falls on stony ground, where it doesn't have much root. These shallow-hearted people only believe for a time, but fall away under the pressure of persecution or temptation. Some people don't believe that you can believe and then not believe. They believe once you're saved, you're always saved, whether you want to be or not. They believe if you believe, you believe whether you really believe or not. But Jesus said you can believe for a time. You can believe for a while. Matter of fact, He said that. These people believe for a while, but in time of persecution and temptation, for the word's sake, because of the word that is, they're offended. They fall away. Other seed is choked by thorns. These are people who become snared by riches and cares of this life, so bring forth no fruit. Other seed falls into good ground and produces. These people are fruitful, successful believers who believe and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Matthew 18:23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Jesus not only comes to introduce us to the kingdom of God, but he brings to us the kingdom of God, and he's the one who will come back and we will give an account to him about his kingdom. Luke 11, starting at verse 14, he did several things, not only preached about the kingdom, but he was, in this case, casting out a demon. It was dumb or mute. The person possessed could not speak. It came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake and the multitude wondered. Jesus did all things well. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. Some of them said he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Others tempted him, sought of him a sign from heaven. It's amazing how they were against him. He's the one who came to bring salvation to the world, and they're always trying to find fault with him. People do that today. They try to find fault with us who are in the body of Christ. So what if we fail sometimes? So what if we don't miss it? We miss it, don't get it all the time. What if there's one soul saved? Isn't that worth it all? If there's just one person healed, never mind all the other times we tried and it didn't work out. What if one soul is saved? No, they want to picky about every little thing, and they did Jesus. Oh, he's a fake, he's a phony, he's casting out demons through Beelzebub. But he, knowing their thoughts, he knows our thoughts too, by the way, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? If Satan is casting out Satan, he's doing his own self harm. His kingdom will not stand because he's harming his own self. Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. God is saying, I'm going to raise up a generation. Those who will carry forth my gospel, those who will bring forth healing, and those who will bring forth deliverance, and they will end up being your judges because you refuse to believe me, and they will rise up in your stead and carry out the works of God. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. If I'm doing this by Beelzebub, it's going to fall anyway because the kingdom cannot stand divided. But if I am doing this with the finger of God, that means the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God has come near to you, and you need to latch a hold to it and believe it because it's the kingdom of God. It's the power of God. Jesus is the only way of salvation. The only way to God, the only way to heaven, the only way of salvation. John chapter 3 talks about this man, Pharisees, he was one of them. He named Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. There again, some people find fault because, well, he came to Jesus by night. I don't care if he came in the middle of the night. At least he came. That's more than a lot of people doing. So what if he came to Jesus by night? He came to him and he said, Master, we know. We know that you're a teacher come from God because no one can do these miracles that you're doing except God sends him and is with him. And Jesus, in the night, he didn't say, well, what are you doing coming at night? Why couldn't you come in the daytime? Come, we tell people now, come at the church in business hours. When did the church become a business? Except it's supposed to be the business of the kingdom of God. That's the only business we're supposed to be in. You're too much like the world, you turn into a business. Ain't no business. It's supposed to be a Holy Ghost powerhouse of God, the church. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's good that you think I'm a good teacher. I'm glad that you acknowledge the miracles. But what about you? You have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Can you imagine all of us trying to figure out how we could enter the second time into our mother's womb, and our mothers have gone on to be with the Lord a long time, and we ourselves, as old as dirt, we trying to think, how in the world can we enter the second time into our mother's womb and be born? How can a man be born when he is old? I'll tell you how he can be born when he is old. Be born of the water and of the Spirit. Be born again by the Holy Ghost. Be born again. That's how you can be born when you're old. Doesn't matter how old you are.
Amen.
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That being born of the water and of the Spirit, it means you've got to be born physically, obviously, to be a human being. You're born physically. So you have to be born physically, but you mainly have to be born spiritually. If you're not born physically, don't worry about being born spiritually. But if you're born physically, you better think about being born spiritually. To be born of water and of the Spirit. If you're not born of the water and the Spirit, that is, you must have a spiritual birth, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And he uses the wind. The wind blows, whether it listeth, the King James said, whether it wants to, it goes whether it wills, whether it wants to. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. You cannot control the wind. You cannot tell where it comes from, and you cannot help where it's going to. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's not a physical controlled thing. It's a spiritual birth. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The question has been asked to modern day preachers, is Jesus the only way? Some of them hem-ha around and say, well, God's got to be the judge of that. He already is the judge of it, and he is the only way.
Amen.
If you're a part of a preacher or a part of a church who won't answer that and say that there's more than one way to God, you need to get away from it, because there's not. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's not through church membership. It's not through the name of even a holiness name over the door. That won't get you to heaven. You got to be born again and have it in your heart. The teaching was out that there was no resurrection of the dead. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 15:13 that if that were true, that means that Christ is not risen. In verse 14, he said, And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. He even said, you're still in your sins. If Jesus has not been risen from the dead, that means you're still in your sins. But the good news is Christ has arisen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them who sleep. Verse 19 says, If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I've heard people say, I would be a Christian even if there was no heaven, even if there was no afterlife, I'd still live for God. Well, that sounds good. But the fact is, if we really knew that there was no life after, we really knew there was no heaven, we really knew there was no hell, we would live like hell for now, for sure, because there was no accountability. You live, get all the gusto you can, just lay down and die. That's the way some people think that it is, but it's not that way. There is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. It's still holiness or hell. It's still salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Justification by faith in Christ alone. Sanctification, the power of sin broken over your life. Baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Being filled with the Spirit of God, Divine healing is just as much as the atonement as salvation itself is. It's part of it. Double barrel shotgun, double barrel atonement. He died for your sins, and he was whipped on his back and around his ribs and his flesh so we could be healed. The reason the church is not being healed today is not God's fault. God wants us to be well. He wants us to be healed. Jesus died and paid the price so we could be. And no wonder Thomas could say, "My Lord and my God," because that's who he is. Father, thank you for such a great person. I talked to you about saying wonderful. I say wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I said, "Lord, help me not to say that word so much, but you are a wonderful God. You're a wonderful person. Such a great God that you are." Who is Jesus? He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Counselor. He's the Wonderful One, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who you are. Thank you for who you are to us. And I pray that you'd be that to so many people today. Let it happen. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's good to have you listening to this Bible teaching session entitled, "Who is Jesus?" I trust that you know who Jesus is, that you have made him your Savior and Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.